Hey, you found the Bear Rugs, a quirky duo of podcasters clawing at you three times a week. On Mondays, we talk, banter, and ramble about a multitude of topics. Wednesdays are reserved for Ask a Bear Rug. We take the spiciest questions from our listeners, so be sure to hop on the site and send us a few. Fridays, we save those for movie and television series reviews. Thanks for tuning in, and welcome to the den. What's up, everyone? I'm James.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we're the Bear Rugs. Grab a chair, kick back by the fire.
If you have either of those things.
And grab a drink.
Ideally alcoholic.
And let the sweet, dulcet tones of the Bear Rugs fill your head.
We really appreciate you guys tuning in. And without further ado, let's get into it.
Let's do it. Today is Wednesday. Our favorite episodes.
Ask a Bear Rugs.
I said Ask a Bear Rug. Shame on me.
Yeah, you just...
Anyway, you did it. You beat me.
We flipped the
You
the
done. Plot. You done goofed. I done goofed. All right. So we've got quite a few questions here. Couple philosophical ones. Couple goofy ones. So I'm pretty excited.
Yep. You guys came through. Keep them coming.
Yep. So first thing I think is a little bit more of a comment. What do we got over there, Emily?
When are you going to drop by your grumbling old fart, formerly active Marine father's apartment, pup? Or maybe at least dropping him a letter, email, or something.
Oh,
found us.
My pops, that's my dad that sent that in there. First off, Dad, I appreciate that you're listening. Secondly, my cell phone number has never changed, so you can always drop me a line. And then third, just saying... You know how it is, man. You know, like when you get busy, you start doing stuff, you know, you're out of the house, you start kind of moving off, doing your own thing, spreading your wings, you know. But I've been super busy, started a new job with a new company. Been very focused on getting all of that stuff down. But once we get a little bit of a lull or something, I definitely want to make sure to pop in and say what's up. But yeah, I'm still have the same phone number. Never change, so.
It's going to be kind of hard to have you on the podcast, though, because we actually live in Omaha, Nebraska now.
Hey-o. I do, and that was the other comment that he had there. We trimmed this one up a little bit. He also mentioned that he might want to hop on and do some reviews or something like that. And I think it would be pretty cool to have, like, a Bear Rug Dad podcast type thing. Maybe we have... Possibly your dad on there, and then also my dad. Maybe not at the same time, but like, you know, one episode that's each of our dads.
Maybe at the same time.
That would be wild. Do you think our dads would get along?
Probably.
Okay. They would probably have a, you're good, dude. I mean, you didn't spit on anything important. You're good. Yeah. I think they would. I think they'd get along. They may even make their own podcast.
Not with these microphones.
The Papa Bear Rucks. Not with all. Hey-o. But... Yeah, they get along. I think they're probably have similar like perspectives. They grew up around the same time, right?
Yeah, they're all the same. Those years.
Yeah, those years. I mean, just like us, right? We're both quirky in our own ways, but we get along.
Yeah,
that would be interesting. But one of the things that we plan on doing eventually, hopefully in season two or season three, would be to get some traveling equipment. I've got my eye on a couple of really good like XLR. Recording things that we could then take with us and do a couple of like the like kind of traveling type interviews.
Something like that I am adamant we find a way to do, and I don't know if I've mentioned this in the podcast or not.
Oh, not have to the I? Podcast. No.
Yeah, I really, really, really want James and I to hit the campaign trail a little bit in 2024. So just hit a few cities where there's campaign rallies and stuff like that going on for both sides.
Yeah.
And get some crowd
get
interviews
some feedback,
going.
Get see some of the people out here in the US. Oh yeah, find some characters.
I think we're going to do everything we can to make that happen in 2024.
Yeah. So we definitely got some plans on that, and I really do think it would be awesome to have like a dad's episode where we have, you know, or even like, you know, I mean, you could do both. I could put Elaine and Steve, the aunt and uncle, on one. I don't know if they'd want to do a podcast, though. My dad probably, but I don't know if they would.
Yeah, you know? I don't know.
But yeah, so sure enough, if I don't know if you have the same number or not, I'll try to send a text to it. But otherwise, my number has not changed. It's still the same old three. Well, I should probably not say my number on a podcast. It's the same number that I've had since 2013. Never going to change. I've already elected. I'll probably never live in North Carolina again, but the number's not going to change. So, yeah.
Is your number still from North Carolina?
Yeah.
That's funny.
You don't know. Oh, that's right. Because when you call me, you just type in my name.
Chames.
Yeah, Chames. C-H-A-M-E-S. Yeah. And I think I have you in there as C-H-E-R-E-M-Y.
Chames. Chamegan. Yeah.
Do you remember the first time you met my dad?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You want to go ahead and
James
tell?
Was with me, and he got a call or text or something from his dad saying that he needed a ride, and he was at the VA hospital. And we had like a little bit of a hard time finding it.
It
was raining, and we ended up getting there relatively quick, like maybe 30 minutes or something. But like he like plopped down in my back seat, and the first thing he said was just like, "Well, it's about time. I've been standing out in the rain for like." I was just like, "All right, man, good to meet you."
Yeah. So I definitely think that I was very fortunate in that I got a touch of madness from both my mom and my dad. Right. I think I probably have more of my mom's glowing madness because I'm but my dad's definitely a character, and I would love to have him on the podcast to kind of, you know, chat up and give his perspective and two cents on things, too.
Yeah, I think we could have them both on one. And
oh, dude. Yeah, that would be
probably all the listeners would need.
Yep. That would be good. One, yeah. See if, you know, let the community decide if they want to do, you know, if they want more of them, we could do that. But yeah, so that's where that sits. We'll once we get some traveling equipment, we'll probably figure out some kind of way to get the parents on the podcast. That'd be fun. All right, what do we got next?
If you went camping with a dude, just any dude, and you woke up the next day, they were gone, but your butthole hurt and your pants were pulled down. Would you tell anybody?
So James would probably want to find out who it was to send out a thank you card.
Damn! Would you tell Jeremy, if you went camping with a dude, would you tell anyone?
If I went camping with a dude? And yeah, I'd be like, hey, I went camping with a guy.
No, I mean, no. Oh,
this exact scenario? Yeah. I mean, if you got me pregnant, I'd have to.
Damn. Well, you wouldn't get pregnant, would you? Just answer yes or no. Probably not,
man,
right?
So whoever wrote this, like, they put you in a situation. It's like the sort of
probably not, right?
Let's see. Let me read it. Would you tell anybody? Like, I'd probably tell somebody.
Okay, well, hold up. Like, but you probably wouldn't tell anybody, right? Say probably not. Come on, cook with me.
Probably not.
Want to go camping?
Oh, see what you did there. No, I like that. Okay, yeah, sorry. Okay.
Sorry. It's all good.
I didn't know. Idea what you're trying to do. Yeah. I was a little bit worried, but I like that.
That's it. So it's like that. That's so when we were kids, we used to ask each other that. We'd be like, dude, if you went camping with somebody and you woke up and your butt hurt and your pants were down, would you tell anybody? And most kids would be like, no way. And then you go, want to go camping?
I've never heard that. You had strange friends. Does that make you think this came from somebody from like your?
Oh, it definitely. I'm more than positive it came from someone from my group. But yeah, no. In all seriousness, yeah, same thing.
I would probably tell somebody. I wouldn't keep that completely to myself.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, as adults too, I think the perspective is different, right?
Yeah.
Like, dude, I think that guy fucking banged the shit out of me when we went camping. That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, this says
they were gone.
Yeah,
right?
So this says like you were awake together at some point, so you know who this is, right?
Well, so, I mean, you're out with anybody, just anybody. You go to bed, you wake up the next day, that person's gone. Just gone. You can't find him.
Yeah, but you know who it is. Like,
yeah, okay.
In any scenario, it looks like you know who this is. There's going to be revenge.
Oh, you're going to?
I'm probably not murder because I'm not trying to go to jail, but there's going to be revenge.
You going to bang them in their butthole? Fucking got you, bitch.
Eye for an eye.
Ew.
No, probably the best thing to do is press charges.
Damn! Go in the press charges.
I probably would. I'd probably press charges.
I'm going to be honest. One, I would hope I would realize that happened, right? I have a pretty high pain tolerance. But I would probably be like, damn it, I fucking rolled around in bed again and my pants came down. Like, my initial thought wouldn't be, oh my God, someone just butt raped me. where's that guy at? It would be like, oh shit, I hope that dude didn't see my pants got fucking pulled down when I was sleeping. And then I'd be like, damn, my butt is sore, dude. What the fuck did I eat last night? Did I take like a really bad shit? Like, I don't think my mind would go there. You know what I mean? But again, I've never been fucked in the ass. So I don't know if that's like a feeling that you would recognize. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it feels like you had a really good shit or not. You know what I mean?
Don't look at me for the answers.
Hey, no, just kidding. That would be rude.
Hey, have you ever gotten fucked in the ass? Does that feel weird? Can you tell how that feels?
You know what I mean? That's a weird question.
If I...
I mean, I know you haven't been fucked in the ass. I don't think. Yeah, I don't know that, actually.
I have not.
I don't think... Okay.
So I said, don't look at me for the answer.
I don't think you'd tell anybody.
I'd tell somebody. Like I said.
You wouldn't tell me.
I would tell you.
You would?
And then if you brought it up in the podcast, we'd edit it out.
James, I got to let you know something, man.
Actually, Emily would edit it out.
I went camping.
I would. I tell you. You'd probably be one of three.
Damn. No, two people. I feel honored. I want you to know I would keep that shit in confidence.
So something I've told my parents before. I don't know if I should say this on the podcast. Yeah, you know, I'll go ahead. Well, something I've told my parents before is there's only, used to be two. Now it's only one because I've changed since then. There's only one person in the world that knows me 100%, like knows exactly who I am at my core, and that's you.
I told
them that I put on a little bit of a show for them.
Yep.
They only know me probably 70%. Ooh. I even put on a show for Bailey. She probably only knows me about
90%.
Her parents only know me like 30%.
Yeah. Well, I feel honored that.
And so you're the only person that sees raw, unfiltered, exactly what I'm thinking. Which is why you're the only person that sometimes I'll notice you'll see me like looking at something and you'll be like, I know.
Hey, buddy.
You know exactly.
Hey,
what I'm
buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no one else that can do that. Yeah.
Well,
fortunately, there's no one else that can do that.
Yeah. Well, I genuinely feel honored that that's the case. You know what I mean? And obviously, I pride myself in my ability to try to keep, you know, like be respectful of other people. And so I've actually I've had a few people tell me that too, that they're like, you know, and it was funny. I had friends that told me like, dude, I'd have taken that as an insult. But I used to have a couple lady coworkers, when I worked at 7-Eleven, and they came up to me one day at random and they were like, James, I just want you to know, if I was having an all-girl sleepover, I would invite you because I know you wouldn't do anything. I was like, oh, that's sweet. I was like, I would have fun with a sleepover. You know what I mean? So it's like being able to like for people to know that about me as well is something that I really like.
Right.
But yeah.
Well, Bailey doesn't really listen to this, but if she ever does, that extra 10%, you're not missing out. Don't worry. Yeah.
Ain't nothing you probably want to hear about anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, if my butthole hurt and I thought maybe someone had done something, I would probably tell someone. But I to be honest, I don't know if I would even come to that conclusion.
Like, I just probably thinking, wouldn't either at first.
Like I've woken up after like having like like some really bad shits. You know what I mean? And just been like, fuck, I fucked my ass up. You know what I mean? Like, just not thinking. Yeah. And who knows, man? Maybe a fucking gremlin came in the middle of a thunderstorm and, you know.
Got at you.
Like, Forrest Gump, the I just didn't know. I just thought it was a bad dream. You know? Who knows?
You never know.
Okay.
All right.
Next question.
What is the single greatest piece of advice you've ever been told?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. You got one right off the
I'm trying to think. I've definitely had some really good advice.
Man, mine's not even like good.
Yours?
Yeah.
What best one. Got?
Well, I mean, it's dumb, it's shallow, it's trivial, but it's and I quote, "Hey, instead of buying a really expensive, as far as these things go, double wide trailer and putting it on a piece of land, why don't you buy a house in that neighborhood right over there? And then when you decide what you really want to do, sell it."
You didn't heed that advice, though, did you?
No. So that was Bailey's dad.
Damn.
And so I live on a giant parcel of land that is also partially owned by in-laws and great in-laws. And my wife was like, well, I want to live on that land. And we looked at building. And at the time, we had sold the house we used to live in way faster than we thought we would. So while we were waiting on a new living situation, we just moved into our parents' upstairs, right? Well, we looked into building because we had the cash to build at the time. And this is the most sad part. We had the cash to build, buy, whatever we wanted to do because we just sold a house.
Yep.
And it was like going to be like a year and a half to have the house built. And we're like, well, we don't want to live in here for a year and a half. And her dad goes, listen, there's a neighborhood right next to here. Several of the houses are for sale that border our land because our land is a mile deep. And he's like, we'll just knock a hole in the fence, one of those houses, and you basically live by us again anyway, which is what Bailey wanted. We were both just like, no, we want to just hurry up and put something there. So we're going to put a double wide there. They're just as nice as regular houses now. And we really thought that. Like that, and that's what the industry leads you to believe. No. It's not the case. So we ended up going the stupid way. And not only do we not have any equity because they're basically like giant RVs.
Worse than cars, probably, in value depreciation.
Yeah, so now we're just stuck paying it off. And so when it's gone, we'll build. We'll 100%, just however long it takes, we'll build.
Yep.
Or buy a house in that neighborhood. I don't know. We'll heed the advice. But that's the big advice.
Honestly, but here's the thing, right? That's really good advice because who knows, man? Maybe someone's been thinking about it and they want to do that route too.
I've spoken to a ton of people because I say mobile home, double wide, whatever, what ugly word you want to use. The preferred term now is manufactured home, right? And I talk to people, it seems like weekly, that are just like, oh, they're so nice. Got the walk-in showers, 100-gallon soak tubs. Oh, look at the giant stainless steel sink with the touch faucet and the slinky, blah, 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 built-in entertainment center, tape and textured walls. Oh, they're blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I hear people like that all the time. They're just like, I just bought some land. It seems like the quickest, best way. And I'm just like, don't do it.
Yep.
Don't do it. Some people, that's all they can afford, and that's fine. But someone in our situation that just sold a paid-off house outright, just cash in pocket, went and did that, like...
Rough move. I don't think that's superficial, man. I think that's solid advice. You know what I mean?
Right, like, yeah. And then all
I hate to say it, but it's almost the equivalent of me getting that Kia Sorento from Express Credit Auto.
It's similar to that, yeah.
Similar?
I don't want to, won't ever change.
Yeah, it's sometimes your impulse and your need to just get it done and taken care of immediately can put you into a bad situation. So I don't think that's bad advice at all. I think that's actually super good advice.
I mean, it doesn't like hurt us really as much as you think. The mortgage, first of all, you can't even get a 30-year mortgage on these things. So it's not like we're tied down that long.
Yeah.
The limit's like 20 years. And then also the mortgage is like peanuts compared to like a regular house mortgage. Yeah. So we should be able to pay it down and I'll just tell someone to get it out of my sight.
So... my single greatest piece of advice, it's difficult, man, because it wasn't really told to me. It was like experienced, if that makes sense. Like I never had someone sit down and be like the only sit down like talk I ever heard, and it was actually not even directed to me. It was in an auditorium at school, was basically that if you wanted to escape poverty, the easiest way to do that would be through education. But I didn't take that as in I needed to go to school. I took that in I need to understand and try to learn as much as I can is how I took that. But I would say the single greatest piece of advice that I've ever received by proxy, it was never said to me, was that you have to understand that you are capable of doing literally anything, right? Like just because you don't know how to make rocket fuel and make a rocket, guess what? If you took a fucking astrophysicist and you put them in fucking CeCe's Pizza, they're not going to know how to make a fucking Olé pizza. They're not going to know how to stock the salad bar. They're not going to know how to do any of that shit, right? So no matter, like, nobody really knows what they're doing right off the bat. So the thing is just trust in yourself that you're going to have the ability to figure something out, right? Like, if there's something that you feel passionate about, there's something that you think you want to do, you're going to have people that are going to be like, no, you can't do that. No, that's not possible, right? Oh, you'll never be successful at that. You know what you should really do? You should do this. What your instincts are telling you, that's what you should do, in my opinion. So, Jeremy over here is cooking up some paper pizzas. So I'm going to let him keep cooking here.
Your advice made me think of something. And you want to know what it made me think of?
What's that?
When you're giving that advice?
What's that?
Like, anyone can do anything. People are amazing.
Wait, why are you? What are you doing? He's eating paper pizzas. What is that from?
The whale, dude.
The whale.
He gets all emotional. He's like, people are amazing.
And he starts eating up the pizza. I got it. That was good. Thank you for that bit.
You ruined it.
I know. I shit on it, dude. I'm sorry.
Your movie knowledge isn't as good as it used to be.
I just want
to
say, like seriously, and again, this mine probably sounds more cliche than yours, but if you want to try something, fucking do it. No matter what anybody else is saying, like, trust in yourself. Like, I'm going to try this. And yeah, maybe it doesn't work. Okay. You tried it, though.
Now you know.
Exactly. But you keep trying until it finally works out. And then you end up, before you know it, you get to a point where, like, the things that used to cause you stress and anxiety, they just, and this is my experience, of course, they just kind of slide off your back. You know what I mean? It's at a point where it's like, dude, this really sucks. Yeah, I'm not feeling that great, but you just know that that's just in the moment, right? It's not going to be like this forever. And then at the same time, in those moments where everything is great, you know it's not going to be forever either. You know what I mean? I don't know. So just trust in yourself. Weather the storms when you can. Enjoy the success when you can, but don't sit on your haunches. Don't let victory defeat you, right?
You saying you lived? That single greatest piece of advice, kind of, rather than actually being sat down and told it.
I experienced it.
Right.
I experienced it.
So that made me think of a much better single greatest piece of advice.
Okay.
So after I had a divorce with my ex-wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward some years or whatever, and I'm sitting at a bar in Nashville, middle of the afternoon. It's dark in there, even though it's daytime, because that's how, like, kind of the Irish pub style is. And I'm sitting there drinking, kind of sulking on my past a little bit, not still from that divorce, but just general.
Just sour in general.
Like, man, like, I'm getting older. Like, time to, I want to get married again. Like, I liked being married, right? And I've told you before, like, about, or you've actually brought up in the podcast because you met her a couple times. So my ex-wife was like out of my league for sure, and people would think, right?
Yeah.
I ended up like kind of doing that thing where you're like spinning on the bar stool. On one spin, I saw like these big gold letters up on the wall, and it said like Irish proverb.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally said, and I think it almost, and I quote, I believe, and I could be getting this slightly wrong, but because this is long time ago.
It's been a cool minute, yeah.
When you go forth to find a wife, bring only your ears and leave your eyes at home.
Oh, that's good.
And so, like, and that's not to say that you're not going to find a gorgeous woman that's also an amazing woman.
Yep.
But also from experience throughout life, like,
it's,
you're going to end up paying the piper with some gorgeous women. And I mean, you might end up paying the piper with ugly women too. It's not to say that, that more homely women might not be also horrible to you, but just don't let those things be, physical appearance be the deciding factor, is what that proverb's trying to say.
Exactly.
Don't
let that be the deciding. It's not saying take it literally that you have to get an ugly bitch that's really good at telling stories. It's fine. Like, the determining factor on whether or not you're going to marry someone is not going to be based on their physical appearance.
Needs to be their personality.
It's going
to
be on the engagement that you have with that person.
I know so many dudes out there that are just physical hounds. Like, you'll show them a picture of like 15 girls and they'll pick like one and be like, this is the only one good enough for me. I'm like, man, you, that's dumb. Like, come on.
Yep.
So yeah, that was good.
That's good. I like that one. All right. What's our next question?
What do you believe is the single biggest threat to the human race?
Mine is really sad.
Uh-oh. Well,
because I also think it's it also harnesses the greatest potential for the human race. And that is the human condition. I genuinely believe that if we are not able to, especially with the rate at which technology is advancing, if we're not able to, like, increase our level of emotional maturity and our base desires, if we're not able to transcend these primal instincts of greed and need and want and desire, we're fucked, dude.
What? Pride.
Pride? Absolutely. Yeah. Abandon the ego, right? We have to be able to abandon the ego and look at ourselves as a collective,
yeah.
or we are genuinely going to be fucked, right? Exactly. The fact that the people have the ability to command a nuke to be launched and fired is, and they have no idea, they cannot comprehend the repercussions or the level of severity that something like that would cause is super unsettling to me. I genuinely believe that the single biggest threat is the human condition. And if we're not able to advance into a level of emotional maturity where we can get past these things, we're hosed, dude.
I think we're looking at the same coin here.
Yeah.
I was about to say two sides of the same coin. I think they're literally the same side of the same coin. I would say that the single biggest threat to the human race is the human race. I think we're saying the same thing, just different ways.
Yeah.
But yeah. If people can't get their act together,
we're fucked, dude.
Yeah.
How do you, so, you know, obviously I think, since we both agree on that, let's just throw a couple of the other ones in there. Like AI, do you think AI is potentially going to be,
I think AI has the potential. I don't think
Matrix
we're there level? Yet. No, you don't think we'll... or Terminator. Like I don't,
okay, fair.
I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, but I'm not going to say it won't or can't, but yeah.
What about like external forces, like a meteor or the atmosphere, like popping like a bubble?
I think maybe the erosion of the atmosphere or a super volcano or a meteor or like massive climate change. I think all those things could definitely be a huge threat to the human race, but it's going to be, it's not imminent.
Yeah.
People every day are an immediate threat to the human race.
100%. Every single day, a world leader wakes up with a fucking burr in his saddle and decides, you know what? Today's the day. Yep. Fuck it. Right? And the thing is that when you become emotionally hijacked, right? This has happened to all of us. Ration, reason, all of that flies out of the fucking window. You know what I mean? And more times than not, in those moments, you end up feeling really shitty afterwards, right? But guess what? It's going to be hard to feel really shitty about fucking launching a nuke or something like that, right?
Yeah, I think we kind of hit the nail on the head. People are the biggest threat to the human race.
Yeah.
And people's, like you said, like, the human condition, the very ness of being human is a threat to humans.
Yeah.
We're all kinds of imperfect and effed up. Yeah.
I do want to say I am still optimistic about the future, right? Most people that I talk to, I mean, they do want to see the world be a better place, but the piece that there's got to be people that are going to step in and do the work too, right? And that's the difficult part. There's got to be people that will turn the shopping cart back in, dude. We got to have us. Let's start there. Start corralling your shopping carts. All right. Start there. Square one. Then maybe the human condition won't be the biggest threat.
People are amazing.
Okay, stop with the whale reference, please. That may be a spoiler. You better watch out, dude. He's right, though. They are, you know?
People are amazing and horrible.
Yeah, but I genuinely believe that, and I hope it's in our lifetime that we see ourselves at least make a huge amount of progression on this, but what do you think?
Don't count on it.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Fair.
I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Oh, it has to. Yeah, it definitely has to. If it gets worse in our lifetime and then starts to get better, I think we're going to
see some
change,
some bad stuff in our lifetime. No.
Oh, not some good dark change. Shit. Dark shit. Yeah. Okay.
I think COVID and Russia invading Ukraine and
everything that's going on.
I think it's all going to get worse.
Yeah.
Buckle up type deal, unfortunately.
Yep.
Sad bear rug.
Well, that's what I have.
Yep.
You got anything more on that?
No. Next question.
Okay.
In a world where bad news drives the most views, what do you believe a person can do daily to make the biggest possible positive impact?
Well, that's an interesting question just to follow my gloom and doom.
Nice. You want to field it?
In a world where bad news drives the most views. Man. Just have a positive attitude,
mindset,
because it's contagious.
So I will say with absolute certainty that the one thing that you have the ability to provide the most amount of influence is your own personal mindset,
right? Yeah, be the change that you want to be, well, that you want
that
to
you
see.
Want to see in the world, yeah. kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. But I just want to, and this is a, this is an important thing to talk about as far as mindset, because I genuinely believe that I'm very fortunate and that I just had it intrinsically, right? This isn't something that, I mean, I exercise it every single day. Don't get me wrong. I do exercise it every single day, but to have in your head, you, to change your frame of reference anytime you're about to interact with another person from what can I get out of this interaction to what can I do to make this interaction enjoyable? When you can change your headspace, just starting there, what can I do to put a smile on this person's face? Not what can I do so that I get something from this person? If you can start there where you're just like, I want to do something to make this person's day. And it doesn't matter who they are. It could be someone that you're, that's a major influencer, someone that's, you know, been an inspiration in your life. But the way that you would try to treat that person, treat the Taco Bell person at the drive-thru. And I guarantee they're going to remember that. It's going to brighten their day, right? Even if you say something dumb, like don't let them drive you crazy, right? Just be in there with them, be in the experience with them, show them that you're, you know, they're a human, they're having a human experience. They're not an employee number, right? Just show them that they are somebody and interact with them genuinely. Take a second to go, okay, I'm not going to push what I'm, my agenda and what I'm aiming for. I'm just going to listen to this person for a second. Just hear what they're saying to you. And I guarantee you, you're going to, at least I believe, that you're going to start seeing the world in a whole different light. And it's, and it, for me, I'm fortunate in that it comes natural. But I do think it can be a learned behavior as well. And the more you sit in that element, for me, I sit in that element pretty much all the time and I fucking love it. I absolutely adore it. I love being able to sit down with anybody from any background and just hear them out. Even if I don't necessarily agree with them, let me just dial it back. Let's just hear them out. Let's see what they have to say and go from there and just treat them with respect, you know?
I know you like to always quote old Ted Lasso, be curious, not judgmental.
Not judgmental, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good policy. Actually, yeah the two chestnuts, a little bit corny, that I just used there, be curious, not judgmental, and then the former, be the change that you want to see in the world. Those are two things that you can absolutely do to have a large positive impact.
Yep, and just be aware, right? Bad news is shock factor is what sells, right? It's always going to be what sells. That's never going to change because... In other news, in Oklahoma today, absolutely nothing crazy happened. Nobody cares, right? They want to hear about the things that are crazy, that are intense, that are wild, right?
Right.
We're in our own ways, the humans are kind of adrenaline junkies in that sense, right? And when the world presents something that is bleak and awful and terrible, you get to be the little spark of joy that people get to see, right? I like to think, and I may be wrong about this, but I'm almost confident that I'm not, and you can probably corroborate this. Typically, when people see me, I'd say probably 95% of the people that I've interacted with start to smile when they see me. Oh, there's James, right? Oh, there he goes. What's he doing now, right? There may be people that are like, fucking James. But the amount of people that think that, I think are very few and far between.
Yeah, I can't think of any off the top of my head, honestly.
Yeah.
What was
and it? I think it'd be more envy driven than it would be me doing something to them, right?
Yeah. What was that little jingle you gave it? Raising Cane's the other day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So Raising Cane's, they always say, hey, 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 what chicken you picking today? Well, I come at them with one that's clickety-clack, holla back. I need a caniac for my hunger attack. And they hear that, they just start laughing because they realize like, okay, you know, this guy's in there. This guy's in there with us, right? He's goofing off. He's having a good time.
Yeah, we got up to the window and both the people were just like, dang.
Dying. Do you know one time I did that in Colorado with my group there?
And they handed you a job application
inside of the bag. They're like, fill this out, you know?
Yeah, it's probably like a manager was on, was just like, we need that
we
guy.
We need that guy. That guy is on it. So you
can't afford me, Mr. Kane.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they couldn't afford me. But I'm just saying, like in general, right? It's just focus. The biggest thing you could do is just focus on not what can I get from this interaction, but what can I do to make this person's day a little better, right? What can I do to kind of make them smile a little bit or make them relieve some of the anxiety. And it doesn't have to be anything crazy. It could be a very small connection, and you'd be surprised at just genuinely stopping and listening to someone and then being able to feel like they've been heard. The amount of like value there is in that, right? For people to just be like, holy shit, dude, like,
yeah,
that was awesome, right?
So something I would say you can do. So it says, in a world where bad news drives the most views, what do you believe a person can do daily to make the biggest possible positive impact? Okay, so I'm just going to repeat that again so it's fresh in someone's mind. So I'm going to start by saying that a lot of that bad news, like, that's really happening. That bad news is really happening. So yeah, take that in. If it's something in your swim lane, like, be take yeah, heed of it. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore the bad news. We're not saying ignore bad news. And bad news isn't necessarily a bad thing to have to take in. Like, it's a warning of the sorts, right?
Yep.
However, a lot of that bad news is purposely amplified and made worse than it actually is for purposes such as dividing people.
Yep.
Or
metrics,
manipulating people, or higher ratings.
Yep.
Which is less nefarious than the other things I said, but like, they'll say things like specifically to cause division among people. Like,
The rhetoric used during these is also designed to to almost paint a good and a bad side, right? Now, don't get me wrong. There is sometimes where there is a good and a bad side, but, you know.
So something you can do in a world where bad news drives most views is filter it. Make sure you get to the bottom of everything. Filter it.
Research. Yep.
Don't ever take any news source at face value. Always do your due diligence. Don't let them get their way.
Yep.
So the media now is not great.
Yeah.
There's some good sources.
And I mean, if you think about it, like, if you really think about it, the people that you engage with in real time, you may see comments on a Facebook post or something that are just batshit insane. But most people that you're going to engage with on the day to day are not batshit insane.
Right.
And you have to remember that in your head when you're seeing these and you see there's like, you know, 1,000 likes on something, there were probably 60,000-70,000 people that looked at that post and went, that is the craziest thing I've ever seen. And they kept going, right? So just because those people aren't saying something in the comments doesn't mean that they don't exist, right? And I would say, for the most part, obviously with that level of exposure, it's going to look way more intense and way worse than it is. But a lot of times, if you still engage with people on a day-to-day basis and you're seeing that most of them are level-headed, right? Like, that's going to be more of the reality, because those are the individuals that aren't going to say anything, right? They're not going to waste their time typing in the comments and getting emotionally hijacked about, you know, some sort of piece, negative, right? Some extreme shock factor piece that we may not have the information on, right? But it is still very important to do research to make sure, you know, that if you do see something in the news that could be unsettling, that, you know, you do some due diligence to check into it, especially if it affects you directly. But at the end of the day, like, it's all about your mindset. The one thing that you're going to have the most amount of control and influence on is going to be your personal mindset. And if you can frame your mindset in a way that is focused on, and this is my opinion, of course, but if it's focused on giving, you're still going to crush it. I was under the impression in like middle school and high school that I wasn't going to do good career-wise because you had to be cutthroat to make it, right? You had to be cutthroat. I never stopped being myself, and I'm doing great. You know what I mean? I feel really great about where I am in life, especially from where I started.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but that's true. Yeah. I was one of the people that believed, like,
you're going to have to be savage.
You got to
backstab everybody.
Yep, get out the knives and stab your way to the top.
Dude, yeah. I'm going to be flipping burgers and making pizzas for the rest of my life. And now what do? I do communication solutions as a consultative resource, and I get to meet tons of contacts from all different kinds of career fields, right?
Yep. So there's other ways. Yeah.
So
there's
others,
less damaging, negative ways.
Yep.
Yep. For sure. And there always will be. There always will be a better path.
Yeah.
That causes less chaos.
Yep.
Less suffering.
Yeah. Yeah. Just trust in yourself. Focus on that mindset. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Yep. What do we got next?
All right. This is the last one. Would you rather fight one elephant-sized goat or 20 goat-sized elephants?
Woo!
Goats are... So I'm going to take this from the perspective of the animal. Goats are fucking savage, bro.
They can jump really high. They take zero issue with using all of their skull and horns to give you a pretty good whack.
I'm assuming we're fighting them on an open field, too.
I don't know why you assume things like that, but okay.
I mean, what? Would we be fighting them on the side of a mountain?
When someone doesn't word specifically what something's supposed to be, I'm going to start thinking of terrain that would be to my advantage, which I don't know what that would be in this situation.
I would want, so me personally, 20 ghost-sized elephants, and I would want to have like a bottleneck somewhere. I feel like...
Bottleneck's always good, little gates of fire from 300.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing, I can't run. I can't outrun shit. There's no fucking an elephant-sized goat. I mean, we could do the Jeremy strategy and try to bite his dick off, right?
I don't know why that's the Jeremy strategy.
Because if
I go to prison.
You said the rhino. You said the rhino, if a rhino and an elephant fought, the rhino would get under the elephant and bite his dick off.
No, he'd rip it off with his horn, not bite it off.
Okay.
I don't know why you always go with the psychosexual option. Right, well, no, I like your 300 Thermopylae idea. You get them in a choke point.
Try to establish, because I'm not going to outrun them. There's no fucking way.
It's like,
so nah, can,
come and get them.
They would be like, because they're goat-sized elephants.
Yeah.
I feel like a kick to something that was goat-sized would do way more damage than a kick to something that was elephant-sized. You know what I mean?
Nah. Then we'll fight to the shade.
We fought in the shade.
I'm just gonna keep doing 300 quotes
with the bleeding of a goat.
With the bleeding of a goat for the Persians, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Me, 20 goat-sized elephants. Now, if I'm fighting them barehanded, I think that I'm losing both of these fights, dude. I think I could hold my own better against 20 elephant-sized or 20 goat-sized elephants.
Imagine how exhausting it'd be to beat 20 goat-sized elephants to death with your fists.
Well, the first one I would try to get his tusk. I would like try to rip off his tusk.
And then just stab the rest of them.
Like Wolverine. I'd like, well, I'm just kidding. I would just have a tusk in each hand and
thinking,
fucking.
You're cooking with gas.
Stab them. Like go for their eyes, their little elephant eyes. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yank it. You probably get them in the back. There's probably a soft spot behind their head. You would just stick a tusk in the back of his head, rip off two more.
Doing the noodle dance.
Yeah,
PB&J.
But
Otter.
If they got around me, I'm fucked, dude. Also, I don't think. Yeah, come on. What would you do against a ghost, elephant-sized goat?
That's a bad, bad, bad idea. Yeah, nothing.
It's gonna lower its head. It's gonna fucking.
There's nothing you could do.
It would trample you. You'd be fucking destroyed.
Trample you. It'd headbutt you. It'd eat you. Just
probably
because goats eat everything.
Bite your shoulder. There goes your arm, dude.
Your head.
Oh, I guess it could bite your head, too. That'd be a good point.
Easier to get to than your shoulder.
That's fair.
If you're going to bite the shoulder, you might as well bite the head.
If I dodged, you know what I mean? It'd still get my shoulder, get my fucking...
Don't think you're dodging it.
I don't think I'm dodging it either. My ass, there's no fucking way, dude.
I don't think even a...
What, like...
Graceful person would dodge it.
If I was in, like, a really, like, brush and dense, like, rainforest...
That's kind of what I was thinking.
I could probably deal with the goat.
No. Because still, like, how are you going to kill it?
You crawl up underneath, and then when it gets caught in the fucking tangles,
and then you're just fucking,
I don't know, like, using...
Milk it to death?
No, you'd have to go for its eyes, you know what I mean? Again,
how would you get up there?
It's a rainforest. I'd fucking climb some vines in a tree once he's stuck in there,
fucking eyeballs.
Thrashing around, dude. And then you just stab him with, like, a punji stick that you made. I don't fucking know. You know what I mean? I'm trying to see how I would win this fight. I just don't see it. A dense jungle, I might have a chance. Like a savanna, no fucking way. That goat's gonna destroy me. There's no way. Like I'm trying to think that you can't get on it. Like you could throw rocks at it. No, it's gonna beat your ass, dude.
So I want to fight 20 goat-sized elephants
as well
in space, and I would just.
Wait, are they wearing spacesuits?
They are, and here's where I'm going to get them. I'm going to just smash a little hole in every single one of their spacesuits.
Using what?
Whatever, a pen. Ink pen.
Ink pen.
Just poking holes in their spacesuits.
Not the glass, but the little...
Whatever I could get to. It would be a frenzy.
That wouldn't be fair to, I mean, shit, even the goat couldn't fuck you up in space.
Exactly.
All right. Well, in that case, I'd fight the goat in space because that's an easy fucking win.
And he's in a giant space
suit. He's in a giant space suit.
I just hole in it and then dive out. Dude,
I could use the air to fucking push away. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep.
Fuck you, giant goat.
Yeah. Whoever asked this, you should have specified a battleground.
We're gonna go to space. I would fight the goat in the arena.
What about underwater or in water? Who even swimming on the surface?
The goat.
Can they swim very well?
Well, if they can, if we're in water and there's 20 fucking elephants, the motherfuckers are pulling me down.
Are they? So they don't have.
Elephants can swim.
They don't have. Yeah, but they don't have like arms or hands that are like conducive to grabbing.
They got trunks. What are you talking about?
I know they have trunks, but these are goat sized. Listen to me. Listen to me. These are goat sized elephants. Their trunks are going to be like that long.
Yeah, that's long enough to wrap around my fucking ankle.
That's long enough to tear it off. Like, it's a little
underwater, bro. 20 of those. 20 of those. They're pulling you under, bro.
I don't think so. I don't think that trunk can wrap around you. And I don't think those hooves can't grab.
And then the little suction, it starts sucking on your eye and shit.
I don't think they would think to do that.
Have you ever met a fucking goat-sized elephant? Goat-sized, dude. We're not talking like mouse size. We're talking they're still pretty big.
No, they're not.
Like 3 feet.
Yeah, they're not that big. And so here's what you do if you meet them in the water. A goat's pretty skinny too, so we're not talking thick boy elephant size either. This is like a skinny little shitty elephant with like this little like limp ass nose. And all you gotta do is swim up to them one by one and hold their head under the water. Like 30 seconds.
They would hold their breath. And there's 20 of them. There's 20 of them.
Dude,
and
I don't know what makes you think an elephant is a semi-aquatic mammal, but you got like 30 seconds of max. That bitch is drowned.
They could pack air in. You know what I mean?
That's not how that works.
I'm sure they could fucking put air in that. No, they put water in that bitch.
The only thing they do with that trunk is pick up peanuts. They're pieces of shit.
They suck up water and they blast. That's how they take baths. They blast themselves with the fucking trunk.
Yeah, they don't suck up oxygen that same way. I bet they can hold air like a snorkel. All right, man, fucking tie that thing in a knot. Hold his head under or squeeze it off.
There's still 19 of them fucking you up, though.
But they're not.
19. They're tiny. 19, and we're not semi-aquatic either, dude. They would get your ass,
we're
bro.
Pretty. Have if you ever met Michael Phelps?
They started fucking paddling up to you, and then they started climbing on your back. 19 fucking elephants, and then they climb on top of the other elephants. Bro, you're getting pushed under.
I don't think you're going to think to do that.
They're pushing you under, dude. Well,
Them in space.
Elephants are smart as
fuck, I'd kill them in space.
Elephants are super smart.
Dead in space.
They have the best memory.
All we need is a pack of Bic pens and...
In the water, I'm fighting the goat, dude.
In a sense of
because the goat's going to get gassed out. The goat's going to get gassed out trying to swim.
The giant goat?
Yes.
There's nothing you could do to that thing in the water. His feet are probably on the bottom.
Bro, I could get up on his back and fucking poke him in the eye because he has to swim.
You keep acting like getting poked in the eye is fatal. Like,
you ever been poked in the eye? Come here.
He can't see now. He's still going to sniff your ass out.
Well, bite you in half. If you think about it, his eye's going to be pretty big. And if you fucking and then you start scooping out, what's he going to do? How's he going to stop you? He's swimming. He can't fucking reach up and fucking, you know what I mean? He could thrash his head around.
Just so you know that's not the end of it, though. You're going to have to like crawl in that cavity and go punch the brain or something.
You're
going
to have to put your whole arm in the cavity. You can't really fucking crawl in it.
I put your whole body in there, man.
You can't. We're not talking it's like fucking 40 feet. This cavity is
elephant size. Yeah, you're right. I keep thinking of like.
It's going to be like a fist.
I don't know why I keep picturing like a kaiju-sized goat.
Yeah, it's not. No, it's not like.
Yeah, you're right.
So you would just get your fist in there. And you could probably get to blunt.
Probably make like a sharp in this.
Yeah.
And just knife hand him.
You know what I mean? And
right in his
yank.
Cortex.
Fucking good night, dude.
Yeah.
Grab him by his little goat nose and start pulling it open like that. That's gross. Why the fuck are we going this far with this? Look.
I'd do the 20.
Almost every environment, I do the 20 elephants.
Me too. I agree.
Water, I'd do the goat.
I agree.
Space, I'd do the goat.
Yeah. I hate both those animals. I'd be cool killing either one.
You hate elephants?
Hate elephants.
Elephants are sweet.
There's a lot of animals I hate. You got any animals you hate? I hate horses.
You hate horses?
Yeah.
Why?
They're the
worst.
What
did a horse ever do to you?
Nothing to me specifically. I just don't like them.
I'm trying to think
they're
of
like
an animal.
Big dogs.
Cats. No, I'm just kidding. I don't hate cats. Actually, you're the little Was it Kitty Stash, dude?
Stace, the one I have now.
Well, Stacy's a sweetheart too, but Kitty Stash too. Those are sweet cats. I'm trying to think of an
Kitty
animal.
Kitty Stash I don't have anymore. Are you talking about just straight Kitty?
Kitty, that's what I meant.
Yeah, he's okay.
I'm trying to think of any animal that I've ever seen, and I'm like, that fucking animal, dude. I can't think of one right now, but I'll think of one. I know there's probably one. You have an animal? I mean, you just named like five. You hate elephants?
Hippos, elephants, horses. I hate almost all primates. So really? Like gorillas, orangutans, chimpanzees.
What about like a capuchin monkey?
I like the little ones like that. Yep. I like the little ones. Lemurs. I'm cool with lemurs.
No monkeys, dude.
Yeah. But from chimpanzee up in size, hate them. They're so gross. They're always doing something gross at the zoo, like jerking off or pooping in their hands.
I've
seen a mom
that.
Gorilla just drinking milk out of her own boob. Like,
it's disgusting. Probably pretty fucking
they're
good,
disgusting.
Dude.
Disgusting.
All right, if you say so. You're telling me that if you couldn't drink milk out of your own boob.
First of all, I don't drink milk.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
The only thing grosser than milk is drinking your own milk.
Bull, bro, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell everybody right now, if I had the ability to produce milk, I would probably take a sip. I might not pour it in my Cap'n Crunch, but I'd see what was up.
So I'm not a doctor, but I've heard from different sources and read that not unhealthy. No, it's not unhealthy. It's probably actually really healthy, but breast milk tastes like absolute garbage, apparently.
Is it?
Compared to like cow milk, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, pasteurized cow milk is different than like actual.
I also don't understand how like sometime at some point way back
someone
in
was
history
like, I'm gonna fucking squeeze that.
Yeah, they see this big giant like sack hanging underneath a disgusting creature that's covered in flies and they're just like, whatever liquid comes out of that sack,
I bet a baby cow is drinking it, and they're like it. God damn, I bet it was a
I bet somebody that was
day.
Really hungry.
It was a hot fucking
something
day.
We don't think about is hunger and what it does to you. Yeah. And how desperate you can get a lot. Yeah, that answers that question.
It was probably a super hot day. Homie was just fucking working the fields.
I bet the first egg ever eaten was eaten raw, too. I bet they didn't, like, wait for it to be cooked. I bet the chicken shit it out, and this dude was just starving.
Probably still had the little poop flakes on it.
Ate it. Cracked it. Was just like, that wasn't bad. And so then he brought it to fire later. And got an egg. Yeah, I think some archaeology's just happened.
Hey, how long does it take before archaeology is no longer grave robbing? There's a fucking philosophy thought for you. Yeah, now all the archaeologists are nervous because they're fucking grave robbers, dude.
Yeah, but it's for a good cause.
I saw a meme with that and was like, as an archaeologist, that question makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah. See, exactly, because they're robbing graves.
But it's for a good cause.
It's maybe.
Understanding our history.
Trying to understand our history, but it's just like.
Sometimes it's guesswork.
You know what? It's the equivalent of like Chuck Norris walking up in Walker, Texas Ranger, eating some dirt, spitting it out, and going, a plane crashed here. Like, what? Why did you do that? Well, did you know they did that on an episode?
Yeah.
He fucking ate some dirt and was like, a plane crashed here. And it's like, well, maybe because there's a fucking giant plane that's fucking crashed over there. Why'd you have to eat the dirt?
So there's a show on Netflix that you should watch called Kunk on Earth. Yeah, okay. It makes fun of history. And it starts like the dawn of man and goes all the way to modern times, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's a fake British comedian lady named Philomena Kunk.
Okay.
And she just asks like the most stupid questions and assumptions throughout history. And one of them was for... Crap, what was it for? I'm forgetting. It was something along the lines of what we were talking about. Too,
like there was some kind of tool or like a
utensil. Oh, yeah. So she was in the cave where the cavemen were in. And there's cave paintings. You know how it's got the ones with all the people with the spears?
With the spears.
It's got all the cows.
Yep.
And she's like, I don't know why the cows and the people were at war.
Yeah.
But the people apparently won.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, exactly. It's like you're trying to interpret with your best intuition, but you don't know. You know what I mean?
It's right. Like the Egyptians had all the cat people and they're like, oh, they worship cats. Like maybe there were actually cat people.
Maybe there were fucking cat gods that were fucking shit up and they took them down, dude. And that's why people now reincarnated. Maybe the cat people have been reincarnated as humans and that's why they have fursonas. That's why they're furries. Cause they're just trying to get into their ancestral. No, I'm sorry for furries. I didn't mean to be disrespectful.
Yeah, if there's anything the bear rugs don't want to do, it's upset you at the furries.
That sounds like sarcasm.
No, it's not sarcasm. I'm serious.
I thought it'd be a comedic thing, but I do need to be respectful.
You guys are living honest lives.
Living your best lives. Tear it up.
Happy.
Don't ever feel ashamed.
Don't take those costumes off on our account. As long as you're not
hurting people, do what you do. All right? That's what I want to say. That's the Bear Rugs motto.
Bear Rugs mantra.
As long as you ain't hurting people, do what you do. But yeah, maybe there were cat homies that were, I don't know. Who knows, dude?
Yeah.
They used to think, you know, back in the medieval days, they used to think that if you didn't leave a bowl of milk out on your porch, that a dragon would come and it would burn your house down. And the only way that they could corroborate it was if in the morning the milk bowl was empty, then you went, oh, the dragon visited last night. And because I left milk, it didn't burn my house down.
Not one of the thousands of people that were probably starving around the city that were like, thank God there's some milk out here.
Stray cats, stray dogs, stray animals, foxes and shit, right? But when fucking...
You got a lot of foxes drinking milk.
Old Bob Joe's house burned last night. He must have not have fucking put milk out. Because again, their houses were made out of fucking...
Straw.
Dry straw and wood. And they had fucking fires running all night. So that shit would set them off. But they genuinely believed that the dragon fucking did a fucking drive-by because he didn't leave them milk. You know? It's interesting.
Bless those ancient peoples. Or even middle ages.
Thanks for the dude who fucking... clamped himself to a cow's nipple and realized that was some yummy shit. And the one who ate the
shit. So I'm not going to thank him for milk, but I'll thank him for ice cream and milkshakes and butter and heavy cream. Oh, I love eggs.
Yeah. The guy who ate the...
First guy that ate an egg.
Covered egg.
You're the real MVP.
The guy who hated chickens enough that you would take the child version of them and then bred them in the adult version. Or no, take the adult version... coated in the child version of itself and then fry it. Nice work. You know, like chicken nuggets or like any breaded chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Because like you're taking a raw chicken.
Yeah.
You're soaking it in the egg.
Yeah, I got you. I'm following you now.
Right. Okay. You're following me, camera guy?
Yep. Whole lot of, there's just a lot of chickens got to die.
That's a lot of chicken hate there, dude.
That's not chicken hate. They're delicious. Can't help it.
I mean, whoever...
As someone who's owned chickens, there's not a whole lot going on in there.
Like, yeah, no, I've heard.
You don't feel real bad for anything that happens to them. Like, even people that love their chickens probably see, like, a coyote come up, grab one, and leave, and they're just like, man,
damn it.
That sucks, but it is also kind of funny.
Yeah. What do you hate chickens?
I wouldn't say I hate them.
So you hate elephants, but you don't hate chickens?
Yeah, elephants are the worst.
Why? Why do you hate elephants?
I mean, look at them.
They're sweet.
Are they?
I bet that they're basically there's like an dolphins.
Elephant. I can't remember where it is. I saw this just the other day. There's an elephant. I think it's in India that has the audacity. He can smell cane sugar trucks coming down the road.
Yeah.
And apparently he can smell how much they have. And he purposely only shows up for ones that have a shit ton. Uh-huh. And he will block the whole road until they stop. And let him grab some cane sugar off of the top and eat it, and then he'll leave. And he's been doing that for like 13 years.
And you're telling me these motherfuckers wouldn't know how to dunk you underwater and drown your ass, dude?
Well, their brains would be smaller if they were goat sized.
Listen to that. You know what? Hats off to him. That's an entrepreneur, bro. That's capitalism.
This has been happening for 13 years. Tell you what, if I lived there, this would happen for 13 minutes before I made it. Before I fixed it. Oh,
jeez, dude. The other elephants would see you, dude. They never forget you. They never forget a face, bro. Those elephants would fucking know.
You're right. I'd have to kill the whole herd.
You would. They'd take your ass down if you didn't. That's one of those. Don't. You know, I'll be waiting for you. You know how the assassin kills the mom and leaves the kid? And then they're like, I'll be waiting for you. You can't do that to those elephants.
All jokes aside, though, like, that is kind of a cool story. Because you know that wouldn't happen in the United States. In the United States, they would, like, at the very least, tranquilize it and drag it off and put it out in captivity or something. They're like, we're not going to let this thing stop capitalism.
Yeah.
But there, it's kind of like a cutesy thing. They're just like,
yep.
Oh, he's coming to get his cane sugar. Yep. And, I mean, each stock's worth, like, cents, and he only takes a few. So, like, yeah. I actually, just, in all honesty, cool. I think it's kind of cool that they've been letting it happen forever. They just call it, his name's like the Duke or something. And
the Duke. It's something like that. You can't ride the Duke's road if you don't pay the toll,
exactly,
brother.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. So, it's kind of cool, actually. Yeah. But I still don't like elephants.
Damn, dude.
The Duke withstanding.
The
Duke withstanding. I like that guy.
Yeah, I can't think of an animal that I don't like. Probably a bird.
Cobra.
Cobras are fine. I mean, they mind their own business for the most part.
I'm trying to think if there's ever
a cobra that's actively latched onto your shin with his fangs.
Well, how did he get there? I mean,
you walked through the jungle and he was like,
the door and was like, hey, motherfucker. Yeah, I don't like this guy very much for sure. But like, if I'm in their area, that's on me, dude. I'm trying to think of like an invasive animal that I'm just like, these little shits.
I mean,
deer. I don't like deer. Oh, I fucking said it. I don't like deer. I don't like deer. And I know they're like revered in like Japan. I fucking hate deer.
Well, depending on how much you hate deer, hunting license only like $50.
I don't want to kill them.
Thick as weeds out there. I just hate them. Yeah, for conservation reasons, you have to.
Yeah, like, they fuck.
If
like
you
crazy.
Don't have, in a lot of Midwestern states, it's not just people killing for the sake of killing.
Yeah.
If you don't have a hunting season, they'd become so overpopulated that like everything else down the food chain would starve to death.
Yeah, they breed like crazy, dude.
And so people, a lot of people don't realize, especially like PETA types, that hunting is a form of conservation. It's to keep other parts of the food chain alive.
Certain types
and
of hunting.
It's done
certain
like responsibly. So you can't like go out and kill 25 deer as one person. You kill like two or three, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
But they're thick as thieves out there. So and they're delicious.
I don't like deer. That's mine. Fuck deer, dude.
Well, get you one. Let's eat it.
That's what they sound like, too. They sound like little demons.
I actually had a hillbilly friend, and I didn't bring this up for this reason, but this made me think of it, so now I got to tell him. I have a hillbilly friend that's like, I'm not listening to your podcast unless you talk about hunting. And so here it is, buddy.
There we go.
You now put your ears deer, where man. Your mouth is. Listen to the podcast.
Next time you're out there, whether you're doing like compound bow hunting or you got a rifle, I want you to say, here's to you, bear rugs, and drop one for me.
Yeah, and then bring me the jerky because.
And if he looks like he's got like a little bit of black paint on his hip, it was probably the one that ran away after fucking up that rental car that I had. So shoot him twice, little bastard.
Shoot him in the knees first.
Man, what kind of animal goes nose to ass?
Shoot him in the knees and then give me a call so I can look him in the eyes.
You know what? You motherfucker. Who's that? Whose nose is in whose ass now? Wait. They were asked to nose.
It was only a rental. I don't care.
Oh, I told you. I mean, should I tell that? I think everybody's probably heard it that listens, but I could tell that why I hate deer.
Like, yeah, you've told it on the podcast, I think.
Okay. Even, okay.
I think.
God, I was so mad, dude. I was so, I've never, and it gave me PTSD, dude. Anytime I drive at night on a country road, even in the van, dude, like, chest starts tightening up. I have to breathe. I have to like steady myself.
Yeah.
It's rough, dude.
Hopefully that fades.
I got the deer screamers. That helps. 55 miles per hour. I go like 40. Fastest I go is 40.
It's crazy, man.
People get behind me. They get pissed off and they speed around me. I don't care, dude.
Dude, it's pretty rare. Never again. Like, it's probably not going to happen again. And in that van, like.
Oh, the van would fuck them up. I want to get a ram guard on it, though, just to make sure.
Dude, if you put a ram guard on there, just go the speed limit.
55 fucking vaporize them, dude.
Exactly.
Fuck out of my fucking lane, dude. I would probably see him in the van too, because the headlights on that thing are fucking insane.
That's why I appreciate some of the places in like Colorado and the Dakotas and New Mexico where they have like the special overpasses that are like grass.
Yep.
So like
they can cross over that shit and they don't get on the road, dude.
I mean, it's unrealistic to put that on like every country road or something like that. But I think it's cool when I see those.
Yep. My favorite one was when that lady was talking about the deer crossing sign. Why did they put the deer crossing sign here? Can't they make the deer cross somewhere else? Like the reason the deer are crossing is because they saw the sign.
As a child, I thought that's what that meant.
So, yeah, we got to start putting these deer crossing signs in better places, like at the stop signs, you know? Make sure that they know where they're supposed to go. But
that's funny.
All right. Do we have, I think that's it, right?
Yep. That's all the questions.
Okay.
So, coming Friday, up. Yeah, Friday. We got the movie review, and I am going to, so the movie Spirited Away, largely considered to be one of the greatest animated films, if not the greatest animated film ever made. Considered by many to be one of the greatest films period ever made. We watched it.
I made him sit in here, watch it with me on the nice TV with the nice speaker.
And I know I called him earlier in another episode, the cartoon zealot, the guy that literally called me out for having a hard five as the Jer Barrier for reviews on cartoons. Will Spirited Away break through the Jer barrier?
We will touch base on that Friday. I'm sure he's curious,
and hopefully a few others are as well.
Yep, and so we'll touch base on. We'll just do a brief one. Obviously, we recorded it, but because of the technical difficulties,
yeah. So we're gonna do a brief.
Yep.
Probably 15, 20 minutes on it, and then
we get into Beau's Afraid.
We're gonna attempt to fit Beau's Afraid into 30, 40 minutes, and boy,
what a movie!
Yep.
But yeah, so that's where we're sitting. Again, after that, the following week, we will not be recording.
So yeah, probably 2 or 3 weeks out, we're going to do a season in review. So this is going to wrap up after 30 episodes in the season in review. It's going to wrap up the first season. A few weeks after that, we should be prepared to start pumping out a second season for you guys with
video. We are going to have the Bear Rugs video, which means we'll have the opportunity to possibly share dank memes, funny videos.
Yep.
Sprinkle those into probably the Monday episodes. That would be
for
fun.
Sure.
You can actually visually see our facial expressions when we drink these wild ass sodas.
Yep.
I think that'll add an extra element to it. So.
I think so. It'd probably make us more animated in general, knowing that there's a that camera people are looking actually at
watching
us.
And
yep.
Yeah. You also see that I have to use a fidget toy to keep from like, I still fidget with the mic too. I just noticed I was doing it, but I bought a little fidget toy to try to help me with that. So I'll be using that all the time, but yeah. We're looking forward to the video elements too.
For sure.
All right. That about wraps up everything we have for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. And remember,
don't be a bear rug. Don't do it. You'll regret it. Been there, done that. But in all seriousness, we appreciate the listens, everybody. And we hope you tune in next time. If you guys enjoyed the podcast, be sure to visit our site at thebearrugs.com for additional episodes. We have all of our socials listed there. You know what they are. Give us a like, share, comment. If you're part of the older crowd, Pony Express that shit if you have to. Thanks for listening, everyone.